I use as my text verse this morning, the first verse that we read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's some people that think that verse is directed to Christians in time where they carry burdens that the Lord has allowed to come into their life, but I don't believe that this verse is written to Christians. I believe this verse is written to those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it's an invitation for them to come to Him and get the rest that a person can only find in His salvation. Get the rest that a person can only find under His blood. This morning I have a simple message. It has 4 points. I want to take that verse and I want to look at the invitee, the one who is being invited. I want to look at the invitational, what they are being invited to. I want to look at the invitation itself. And then number 4, I want to look at the inviter, the one that's doing the inviting. And so as we start to look at the invitee, it's obvious. The invitee of this invitation is all those that labor and are heavy laden. That word labor comes from a Greek word kapos, which means troubling labor, wearisome labor, agonizing toil. If you look at the Greek word at its root, it means the kind of labor that causes one to beat on their breast and say, "This is so hard, and it's not working. What am I to do?" That word laden comes from a Greek word for titizo, which means overburdened or spiritual anxiety. And so let me put those two words together and tell you who the invitee is in this invitation. It's a person that realizes that they are separated from God. It's a person that realizes that they face an eternity apart from God. It's a person who has been laboring to try to overcome that relationship deficiency that they have with God, and everything that they have tried has not worked. Everything that they have tried have not brought them any closer to God, and they fear going out into an eternity and spending eternity apart from God in that place called hell. Now listen, if you're here this morning, you may not have that anxiety, but if you're here and you're not saved, you need to think about your eternity. You need to think about that place called hell, because my dear friend, that's what the Bible says, that every person that dies and leaves this earth that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's the place that you are headed for. I know some people say, "Hey now, preacher, you know, I believe hell is just something that God made up. It doesn't really exist. He just puts it in the Bible to scare us into coming to Jesus Christ." I want to tell you, whoever told you that is lying to you. There is a place called hell. The bottom describes it as the bottomless pit. The Bible describes it as a place of fire. The Bible describes it as a place of pain where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not. It was not a place prepared for man. It was a place prepared for Satan and those that rebelled against God. But God will use it for every individual that rejects Jesus Christ. And if you do not feel anxiety, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and if you don't feel anxious about your eternity, I want to tell you something this morning. You need to. You need to. This verse says, "All ye that labor." You see, there's still people today that are trying to labor their way into heaven. Ever since the beginning of time, man has always thought there was two choices in order to get right with God. There was God's way. I mean, God's always been pretty clear about what His way is. For the Jews, it was the system that He set up to offer sacrifices. For us today, it's the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary. God's always been clear about the way to get right with Him. But man has always had a better idea. Man has always said, "There must be another way. I'll come up with my own way." Adam tried to do that in the Garden of Eden. Cain tried to do it after they were expelled from the garden. And both of their attempts failed. And people's attempts today will fail as well. You may be here today, and you may say, "Hey, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to work, and I'm going to get smart. I'm going to get an education. I'm going to learn everything I can about this world and how it works, and everything I can about how God made it. And if I learn that much, then God will surely let me into heaven. God will surely make me right with Him." The wisest man that ever lived, a man by the name of Solomon, tried that same thing. He wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, "I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem." And here's what he says: it's vexation of spirit. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. What Solomon was saying, it doesn't work. Getting smart and knowing how the world works and knowing how God made it, it doesn't make me right with God. It's a vexation to my soul that I thought that it would even work. And I'll tell you, if you're depending on your education to get you right with God, you're going to go to hell just like the dummy who knows nothing if you both rejected Christ. Being smart and knowing how this world works, knowing how God made it, will not get you into heaven. Working to get smart won't work. Some people turn to pleasure. Solomon tried that too. Solomon said, "Go to now, I reprove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure." And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the good things that God has put in this world. But if you're depending on pleasure to make you right with God, you're going to end up saying the same thing that Solomon said. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. Again, what he was saying, it does not work. Living your life just to enjoy yourself will not make you right with God, will not give you a home in heaven. Some people say, "Well, if I can be a success, if I can gather a lot of material things, God will surely notice that I'm successful and He will let me into heaven." Solomon tried that too. He says, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. He said the same thing. Gathering things do not work. They may make you feel good in the present, but they will not help you in eternity. They will do nothing. You cannot, there's no price that you can pay to pay for your sins and make you right with God. Some people say, "Well, preacher, if I'm good enough, if I can do enough good things, if I can be kind to people, if I can treat people the way that God wants me to treat them, then certainly God will overlook my sins. Certainly God will let me into heaven." I want to tell you that the Bible says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible says all our righteousnesses, all the good things that we do in God's sight are as filthy rags. Solomon didn't say it, but I'll just say it. It's vexation. It does not work. Works will not get you right with God. And then some people say, "Well, I'll turn to church. I'll be religious. I'll go to church. I'll get baptized. I'll take communion. I'll be an active part in Christ's church." I think you ought to be an active part in church. I think you ought to come every time the door is open. I think you ought to love the church. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning about the church that's built on the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. But I want to tell you something. I mean, I don't want to burst your bubble this morning. Being a member of a church does not make you a member of God's family. Being baptized does not wash away your sins. Taking communion does not make you right with God. If you are depending on any of those things, you are this person that labors, and yet you still have the anxiety that comes by knowing what your eternity holds, because none of it works. It's vexation of spirit, and you know in your heart it doesn't work. And so this invitation comes to those that labor and are heavy laden. Here's the invitational. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Rest. That's what you're invited to. Now, I want to point out to you real quickly that the word for rest in verse 28 is different than the word for rest in verse 29. Tonight we're going to talk about verse 29 and the kind of rest that a Christian can find in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to talk about the kind of rest that's found in verse 28. It comes from a Greek word, and upola. It means to stop and to be propped up. So here's the picture. Here's the invitation that Jesus is giving. And I'm getting ahead of myself by telling you who the inviter is, but here's the invitation. Those people that are laboring to get right with God. And they try different things. They try works. They try religion. They try things. And they know deep down in their heart and their soul that none of them work. And so they have an anxiety in their soul. They still are not sure about their eternity. They still know deep down in their heart that they're not with God. And so they beat their breasts. They labor. They try and they try and they try. And they're anxious about where they're going to spend eternity. And Jesus says, stop! Just stop. He says, I'll give you rest. And what he says is, just sit down. You don't need to work. You don't need to labor. You don't need to be heavy laden. You don't need to have that anxiety about where you're going to spend eternity. Just sit down and stop. I'll give you rest. I'll talk about how he's going to do that in a minute. But and let me give you an analogy. You know, when I was a teenager, I went to work for my dad. He remodeled these houses. And, you know, my brother and I, we had a small job. We helped the custodian at our church clean the church. And we'd go and work for about an hour a week. And, you know, there were times we thought we were working hard. I want to tell you something. I did not know what work was until I went to work with my dad. We'd get up early in the morning because he had a second job he had to be at in the afternoon. And we'd be out there, and yeah, he was the kind of guy that did not believe in coffee breaks. He did not believe in, and I didn't drink coffee, so it didn't make any difference. But he did, I mean, the only time he let you stop is when you had to go to the bathroom. I mean, you really had to go. That's the only time he let you stop. And he worked. I mean, he did let you stop for about 10 minutes at. And he's in heaven, so he's probably hearing me say all this, but he'd let you take 10 minutes for lunch, and then he'd want you to get back. And there was a time, when I was a teenager, when he had so much work that he had a partner that worked days, and he worked afternoons, so we'd go to work with my dad in the day, and then he'd say, you guys just stay here, and Trav will be here. You can work with him till midnight. And my brother and I were working from like 7 o'clock in the morning till midnight. And I can remember some of those days coming home. I was so tired. I mean, I stunk. I needed a bath. I was too tired. I mean, I just lay down in the bathtub, Brother Jack, and I fell asleep. My mom had to knock on the door about 1 o'clock in the morning to wake me up. That's the picture that Jesus is painting in this verse. You work so hard. You labor so hard. You're so anxious about your eternity, as you should be if you don't know Jesus Christ. And you work, and you work, and you work, and you work, and everything you do doesn't work, and everything that you do doesn't make any difference. You still know in your heart you're lost. You're apart from God. You're under the condemnation of sin. By the way, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so we are under the condemnation of our sin. And we try to make it better with what we do. And Jesus just gives us this invitation. And he says, just stop. I'm going to give you rest. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything to get right with God. Everything that needs to be done, I've already done. We pictured it in the Lord's Supper this morning. He went to the cross. On the cross, God took all of my sin and all of your sin, that sin that separates us from him, and he put it on his son. He laid it on his son. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for everyone, all of my sins, and every one of your sins. He paid the price. And so he says, here's the invitation. Come. Come. Come to me. Just come. You can come just like you are. You don't have to change anything before you come. You don't have to clean up anything before you come. Jesus said, when you come, I'll make all things new if you trust me. But there's no preconditions. All you got to do is come. The Bible over and over extends that invitation to sinners. It just says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It says, let me get up here to get my verses. But it says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool." In Isaiah 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, come." In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, the last invitation in the Bible says the Spirit says come. The Holy Spirit says come to Jesus. The bride, the church, those already in heaven says come. Him that heareth, those that are already saved, that haven't gone to heaven yet, says come. Him that is athirst, come, and whosoever will may come. The invitation is simple. Quit your working. Stop your working. It doesn't do any good. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Just come to the Savior. Come to what Jesus did for you on Calvary. Come to the precious blood that was shed to pay for our sins. Just come. And then number four, look at the inviter. He says, "Come unto me." I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, those words are in red. It means they are words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God is giving us this invitation. What he's saying is, your works won't do any good. Everything you try, it's vexation and vanity of spirit. It will not make you any closer to God. It will not forgive your sins and take care of your sins. So just quit working. Stop. I'll give you rest. You can only find rest in me. You can only find peace with God, with me. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's been that way all along. Hasn't changed. It's been that way since the beginning of time. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve came and got their sins forgiven by looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on Calvary's cross. And a little boy that got saved yesterday, he got saved the same way. He looked back to what to what Jesus did on the cross. The first man and the last man that get saved, they won't get saved different ways. They'll get saved the same way through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the inviter. Jesus is the inviter, the one who left heaven, the one who was born of a virgin, the one who lived on this earth for 33 years, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, the one, the God-man, who allowed mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. And as he hung on that cross, again, God put on him every sin, and he paid for every sin. And he says to mankind, to those that labor and are heavy laden. And by the way, you may not realize you labor and are heavy laden, but if you're trying to get to heaven any other way than the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a pretty apt description of you. He says, just come to me. Come to me. Depend on what I did for you on Calvary. Trust the price that I paid for you on Calvary. And he says, I will give you rest. You can have a peace in your heart that comes from knowing that you're a child of God. You can have a peace in your heart that comes from knowing that your sins are all paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have a peace in your heart that you know that you're a member now of God's family. You can have the peace in your heart that knows that God will meet your every need, and one day, either by way of the rapture or by way of death, take you to heaven to live with him forever. So here's a choice that you have. You can keep working your own way. You can keep laboring. You can still carry that burden of sin. Or you can just come to Jesus Christ, and he will give you rest. I don't know why you wouldn't choose Jesus. Everybody that's tried their own way would stand and testify, some of them from hell this morning, It doesn't work. Man's way never works. Only God's ways works. Would you come to Jesus this morning? He died for you. The price of your sin he paid for on Calvary. He'll forgive your sin, wash them all away, make you part of God's family if you'll trust him. If you'll trust him. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that love that drove our Savior to the cross. Thank you for making it possible for him to pay for every one of our sins. Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that are still trying to get right with you some other way. They're still working. They're still laboring. They still carry that burden of sin. Father, help them to realize they cannot do it on their own. It's not of works. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The only thing, the only one that will make a difference, the only thing that will make a difference is by coming to Jesus Christ and receiving what he purchased for us on the cross of Calvary, life, eternal life. And I pray for every person that's here today that's never made that decision, that in the next few moments would just tell you that they know they're a sinner. They believe the Bible when it says the wages of sin is death, but that they also believe the Bible when it says the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And they would come to you this morning, receiving Christ as their Savior, trusting him and nothing else to make him right with you. I pray, Father, if they do that, that just in a second they'd walk the aisle and let us know they've done that. If they need help to do it, help them to walk the aisle, and we'll help them to do that. But Father, please bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to rejoice once again what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask all this in his name. Amen.